This is a No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chat. With guests, those darlings. I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com. So, this is another edition of No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chats, and we are in the Beachland Tavern at the moment, and in a few minutes next door, we'll be chilling for the Best Coast show, and the opening band, Those Darlings, are joining me right now. We've got Jesse, Nikki, and Lynn, so we... I guess should have everybody say hi, just so everybody knows your voices.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, what's up?
All right.
This is the voice of reason.
There you go. So thank you very much for joining me once again, and it's great to have you guys back here. If you don't know Those Darlings, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because these guys are awesome, seriously. They are the winners of no less than three No Surf Music Surfy Awards last year. So they pretty much ran the table. Best song for Beer Bro, best live performance for their show at the Grog Shop, and best emerging artist, breakthrough artist of the year, because you guys really did have a fucking fabulous year last year with your new album and everything going on. So it's great to see you again. So you've been busy this year as well, too. You guys just got back from Europe. I'm sure that was a lot of fun. Do you have any good stories from the road? What was your favorite gig while you were over there?
They were all pretty fun.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
I think I had a lot of fun in Paris because we had a day off. It was a pretty good show, too. I don't know what our favorite...
I like the Brixton Windmill show in London.
Oh, that was awesome.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's the only place I've ever played that's got a...
dog that lives on the
racist...
roof.
What kind of dog was it?
Rottweiler.
Rottweiler, who lives there?
On top of the building that paces back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't get to see that very often. And it only barks at people who are black or... I think that's what they do. I don't think it barks at anybody else except people who are black.
Okay.
We heard about it and we thought it was a joke, and we got there and I saw it in action.
Yeah. Weird.
I think whoever owns that place is insane.
They didn't have a problem with Pakistanis, because I know that's an issue over there. Maybe they were just...
I didn't see any Pakistani people walk by the dog.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Okay, but you guys were good, so that's cool.
Yeah, they kept that fucker on the roof.
Awesome.
Safe.
Well, that's what's important. I mean, you got to have good security when you're on the road, because it's an unfamiliar place. You never know what's happening. Anyway, so I don't know either. I do want to talk to you just a little bit for folks who don't know you. You started off very much in the country vein, sort of a cowpunk kind of a thing. With your first self-titled album. And then you guys very much transferred into more of a rock and roll sound. Still with some country influences, for sure. But just so people know, can you tell us a little bit what was behind sort of the stylistic changes and why you guys decided to do it at that time?
It was kind of just like... we started playing, and we really didn't have a plan when we started out. We just sort of liked all... We all were into country music, and we started doing that. And it just sort of grew naturally. We played a bunch of shows and toured a lot, and we just really liked kind of going crazy and just getting loud and stuff. And it was, like, not really working with acoustic guitars and ukulele. And I don't know. It just was what felt good to us, so we just went with it. And I mean, we've always... We all grew up on rock and roll, so it's kind of like it was already there, you know. We just sort of had to just let it out, you know.
I gotcha. Well, you definitely have some of the more rowdy shows around there, so I can definitely see how the chance to blast out with some of your music.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, when I think back, it's like when you play kind of country stuff, you get... there's only so many other artists that you can get paired with you know, doing tours and stuff, and it's sort of like a lot of these things. I mean, we played with some awesome people, but I feel like a lot of it was like a really reverent scene where everyone is sort of like, we just sit and watch, and there's no, you know, it's not about like an interaction, and we really always fed off of like an interaction between the crowd and us when we played, so just kind of like, we just had to go where we felt like we were getting some energy back.
Gotcha. Well, you can definitely see that in your shows, because you guys really get the crowd involved, and you can tell that you're feeding off of that. You know, you move around the stage quite a bit, and you know, occasionally do the whole stage dive thing and stuff like that. So, it's a very cool experience when you're watching. And this time you're paired up with Best Coast, which I think is very appropriate in a lot of ways, because they sort of have that whole post-feminist kind of vibe going as well. So, how's the tour been so far with them?
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had so much fun.
You guys play together fairly frequently, right? Before this?
No, we've only played together once. But
really?
We've been
okay.
friends for a while, and we've sort of just been like trying to put together this tour for a couple of years now, it feels like.
Yeah, we met Bob in LA before we even, I think before any of us even heard of the band. Before their, he came to one of our early LA shows. We've been friends with him ever since.
Cool, cool. So nice to get out on the road with them then, and hopefully the show tonight will be as rocking as it usually is when you guys are in town.
It'll be rocking.
Absolutely. So, getting back to your last album, Screws Get Loose, I thought it showed a lot of movement for you guys, sort of progress. Not only because, you know, you moved to a sort of different style of music, but I guess if there's one defining characteristic of the band, it's sort of your general cheekiness. It's the don't give a fuck about anything kind of feeling that you exude. I mean, I don't think you guys can ever be totally serious about anything, which is totally awesome.
Really?
In every possible way. Well, no. That's a good thing. I mean, it's sort of the way you look at life. I mean, you know, even when, you know, you're committed to something and whatever, you can see the sort of funny side to it, you know?
And take things seriously and still laugh at it, though.
Well, that's sort of what I mean. Like,
take things seriously.
Right. Well, but at least you sort of see the kind of skewed, surrealistic edge on life that a lot of people never notice. At least that's the way I interpret it.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. And, you know, just as an example of that, I think, especially on some of Jesse's songs on Screws Get Loose, they were more serious topics in some ways than you had covered before, but they were still with that kind of tug-in-cheek edge. I mean, I know when I talked about Beer Bro during my album review, you know, I talked about the fact that it deals with some pretty significant social themes in some way, and about, you know, women's place in the modern world and women's sexuality in the modern world and all that. But at the same time, you know, the lines are freaking hysterical. You're talking this and that, and, you know, I don't necessarily want to repeat them because everybody should listen to the song multiple times and memorize all of them. But I guess my question for you guys then, and I think he sort of just answered it a little bit, is, you know, what is your outlook when you go in and you write a song like that, you know, at one time is dealing with something important, and at the other time, you know, you've got this great way of looking at things where you're not just going to come out and, you know, do a rant about feminism or something like that?
Well, it's not really like whenever I wrote that song, I was thinking about, like, you know, what the whole idea of the song was. It was just sort of like, this is how I feel right now, and I'm writing it down. You know what I mean? It was just sort of like, this is a funny idea to me. I mean, it was literally, that's how I felt. I was just thinking about, like, my friends who are men who, you know, I hang out with, and, like, we get along, and everything's great, and it's just like, not you know, some weird thing. And I was just thinking, man, why can't, like, it always be like that, you know? Instead, there's always these weird issues. And basically, you know, no matter what, a woman is always going to be seen as some type of, like, sexual object, you know? But,
that's what I think
of you as. That's what Lynn thinks, yes. At least. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, I just try to, like, I can't really explain. It's not like I have, like, I don't really, didn't really think about it being a feminist song or anything, just mm-hmm. sort of, like, the way that I was feeling. And then I wrote it down. It's like, and I just sort of, like, always try to laugh or have fun and make things funny. I don't know. It's just, I just like to laugh, that's all.
Right. Well,
I just like to make myself laugh.
Certainly ain't nothing wrong with that, right? Nope. But, you know, I think that's one of the things that kind of... I don't find Jesse annoying at all. No. I think that's kind of one of the things that actually makes, you know, great art great in some ways is, you know, the very specific becomes universal. And you don't necessarily... Yeah. Have to think about it as, you know, I'm writing this song to do something or to say something, but because it's about your experiences, you know, everybody can relate and it becomes bigger.
Yeah.
And I sort of felt that way about the title track, Screws Get Loose as well. You know, that's, it's sort of about your own experiences and sort of, you know, your mindset, but then, you know, anybody can relate to, well, not necessarily anybody, but anybody who sort of has a little bit different brain than what the people at the American Medical Association say that you should do exactly, you know, can relate to sort of those feelings and to, I guess, the experiences that you express to that. So... Can I just ask you a little bit to relate the story behind that title track for folks, in case they don't know it? Just, you know, how did that come about?
I took a trip to New York, like, after we had been really touring pretty hard for a couple of years, and just really was, like, our first vacation we had taken, where we were just, like, everyone just get the hell away from each other and go do something, you know? And I went... up there, and on the way up, I was just, like, feeling, like, really sort of, like, frazzled and worn out and, like, nervous, you know? Like, I'd never been to New York by myself, or I hadn't really ever flown anywhere by myself, I don't think. But, just sort of, like, wrote the lyrics. I don't know, I was just, like... whatever, I was just thinking about being on the plane, being afraid of, and just sort of, like, afraid of everything, because I was just, like, kind of worn out, you know, and didn't feel, like, on top of the world, and then, like, later on, I wrote the rest of it, but, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. So, New York does tend to have that effect on you, I know, because I lived there for quite a long time.
It was weird because it was like that's what I needed to do, though, because, like, once I went by myself and just, like, walked around all day, every day, and, like, went to museums by myself and just walked around the city and figured out how to, I mean, it was a lot for me because I grew up in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. and, you know, Nashville's the biggest city I've ever lived in, it's the only city I've ever lived in, I've always lived out in the middle of nowhere, so for someone like me to go to New York and just, like, even though I've been there a lot since I've been touring and I've been to a bunch of cities, it's not as scary now, especially, but then for me to do that, it was like a step in just sort of, like, being like, okay, I'm brave enough to figure, like, to do this, I'm brave enough to get on the subway, I'm gonna do this, figure it out, and it was sort of all I needed to just, like, snap stuff back and be like, all right, I'm confident, I'm ready to go again, you know?
I gotcha.
But it was just a weird experience, just walking around and feeling crazy and then seeing all these other crazy people too, you know, just being like, this world is weird.
Yes, and New York especially. That's one of the reasons why I love going back there, and when I do, I try to go back there with as few resources as possible, just be in my van and, you know, figure something out, because it makes it so much more fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me, I'm kind of crazy myself, so it's all good. I don't want to shortchange you, Nikki. What do you mean, why? You're you know. Anyway, what was your personal favorite song on the last album?
Sick of hearing about that.
What? That I don't like that album? No, I do like that album. I'm just kidding. Missing Mind is my favorite one.
Okay. Well, I definitely thought that that was another particularly interesting cut because it's in a lot of ways unlike anything you guys have ever done before. Well, it sort of had that kind of, you know, Beatles under the Indian Guru influence kind of feel, and
it's pretty dank.
Yeah, that would be one way to describe it. Yeah. You know, we're capturing a lot of Jesse laughing on this interview, and that is very cool. So, can you tell me a little bit about how that one came about? And
Well, there's a funny story at the beginning of it, because she had sent me, she wrote some of those lyrics, and she sent me this text one day that had some of the lines in it, and I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Then I was like, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, she thought it was the best thing ever, and I was like, is that a song? And she's like, yeah, these are lyrics. And then I just were like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And she got real mad at me.
He was not impressed.
And didn't talk to me for a couple days.
And then I made him come over and help me finish
it. And then we finished it.
Nikki had a broken arm, so me and Lynn, like, got together. And all we had was, like, just a bass. A little tiny, crappy bass amp.
A snare.
Yeah, a tom.
When you guys were working out in the other room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was there. And then,
you were there in spirit, though, right? And it's a spiritual song.
We were also working. It wasn't even any of our whose house was
it? It wasn't our house.
They were like staying at someone else's like complete shit.
I didn't have a
house.
I didn't live anywhere then. I was homeless, and the people that
you lived down the street.
No, I didn't live there yet. I didn't have anywhere to live. I was just staying at someone's house while they were gone.
And I was staying there.
And I invited them over. And then Nikki was homeless, and she stayed.
And there was another guy. Our friend was just there.
Eric.
Yeah.
Eric.
He was just there hanging out, getting stoned.
Yeah. And watching Simpsons. And then we were in the other room, like, fighting over this song.
No, we weren't fighting, though. We were really getting into it.
But then I told him, like, the feel of I wanted the guitar line like this, and then Lynn came up with the bass part, and then we wrote
We didn't put that hip-hop song we wrote.
Yeah, we wrote a hip-hop song then, too, but it was really bad, so I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay, let's not talk about that, then.
But, yeah, that song is about, the Mystic Mind song is about, like, a few people that we know that are, like, super mystical, and they just believe in everything, and it's really awesome.
Who is it exactly?
King Khan, Nikki's mom, and do you remember Greg, who used to be the drummer in Pujol?
Oh, yeah,
and
he's,
Samer.
Like, super wacky.
And Samer.
Okay.
All of our third eye friends.
Very nice,
yeah.
Very nice. Well, it's good to have an eclectic group of people in your life because they provide inspiration. So.
Well, you gotta have your gurus, you know?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't call some of them gurus.
Your mom's not your guru.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, speaking of eclectic people, Lynn.
Yeah.
Mr.
Eclectic.
There you go, exactly. Since we're talking about the last album, you actually officially joined the bands at that time.
Yeah.
And sort of became the force of testosterone among
testicular fortitude.
There you go.
I don't know.
There's a good amount of testosterone to begin with.
Well, hey. Yeah.
See how hairy they are?
I am not going to comment.
Than Linwood is, so.
I'm within slapping range right now, so I'm not going to say a damn. No. I do want to ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
Because, you know, number one, this was obviously a going concern. They had one album already out, and you had known all of them prior to joining the band.
Yeah, we'd all been friends for years.
Years. I like the way you say that. Forever.
I mean, it had been, we'd all known each other for a really long time.
Right.
We all, like, hung out in the same, you know, same circle, all that.
I knew Linwood since I was 14.
Yeah, we met Jessie when she was 14.
So we weren't like friends. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but okay. So how did the decision come about? I guess you know, from all three of you, and I guess it had something to do with the, you know, transitioning of your style. You know, needed a full time drummer and all that. But how did the decision come about for you to join up with them?
They asked me. That's pretty much the long and the short of it.
Yeah, we were like looking for a drummer for a really long time, and Lynn was living in that. We were all living in the same house together, and our manager one day, Lynn was playing the drums at our house because he always used to just play like every instrument, and he still does. But and our manager was just like listening to him play or something. I don't know what we were doing. He was like, "Why don't you just ask Lynn?" We're like,
"Well, I think what it really was is when you guys played the show at Bill Jakes' house."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nikki's dad was in town, so he, I, and Spencer,
who's playing bass with us now,
mm-hmm. we played, like, I don't even know what the hell we played, but, yeah, we just played whatever songs we could.
Party, and so, Lynn played drums.
Yeah, I played drums.
And JT saw, but
he saw
like
that. I think that
Lynn
was
had
it.
Never. Been, he wasn't a drummer. He was like he plays guitar and bass, and so we just never thought about it because we're like, well, he plays guitar. He's a guitar player, and mm-hmm. then our manager was like, he can play drums pretty well, you know. And we were like, oh yeah, I guess he can. When did he learn that? Okay.
And I so, taught you how to play drums.
Yeah.
Years before that.
Obviously, it didn't stick.
No, not a very good drummer.
It's all good. You have your specialties. Yeah. And, you know, not everybody can do everything.
Yeah.
Jesse's pretty all right at drums.
Yeah, I just don't really practice. So. What are we talking about this?
Yeah, everybody should know.
There okay. you go. Jesse's a fair drummer. Right, she just
I'm
doesn't right practice,
at drums,
okay?
I'll admit it.
There you go.
My new venture is the saxophone. That's what I'm going to be good at.
Really?
Yeah.
The alto or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want to play tenor, but I have an alto, so that's what I'm going to play.
Okay.
I can't afford to get it up.
Well, you know, if you wander around the streets of the towns you tour long enough, I'm sure you'll see one sitting on the road somewhere.
Actually, they're really hard to come by.
Yeah? And
tenor is?
Well, just saxophones in general. Like, used saxophones are so expensive, even in thrift stores. And they get beat up really easy, so.
Maybe I remember from my days in band.
Maybe you can find some high school kid who's about to quit.
I can just beat him.
And you can train him to
weed. I can just beat some high school kid up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is pretty much the solution to every problem in life.
I'll give him a bag of weed and say, you can sell this to all your friends and make twice as much as this
saxophone
cost. But I'll have to buy the weed first, so. I don't know.
Well, you just beat up another high schooler for the weed, and then, you know.
My mom got me the saxophone for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
For $20. She got it at a yard sale. That's her thing.
There you go. That's a deal.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She's a deal.
Jesse plays saxophone too on our last single.
Seven.
Really?
Yeah. My first recording.
Pet You and Sax
You. Hold You. Have you heard that one?
I have not yet, actually.
Well, you have to get
killer saxophone at the end of it.
That is exactly my plan. We will discuss that at a later date, however. Okay. Well, getting back to Lynn for just a second, I do want to ask you then. So, what was it like for you? You know, as you say, you had known these guys for quite a while, but what was it like for you joining the band at that time and, you know, being a part of what they were doing?
Well, that first part was a bit weird for me because I'd played drums for a while, but never in an actual band, so it's just kind of hard getting used to that being the thing, and like it took a few shows before I actually got comfortable, and a lot of the songs that we were doing then, some of them I knew them all, but like we didn't do a lot of rehearsing before we went on the first time with them, so I was trying to be on my toes and not, you know, realize halfway through a song that I'm actually playing a part to one of the other songs that may sound like the one we're playing. You know, a lot of that kind of shit.
Okay.
That's going on, but it wasn't hard to get used to being around them because I already knew what kind of bullshit to expect from everybody. You know.
You were ready for the craziness, so.
Yeah, it was nothing new.
Yeah.
Okay, and then
surprise.
You actually did a little bit of vocals and writing for the album as well. How do you see, you know, your development, I guess, in the band going into the future then? Do you want to take over a little bit more?
Yeah, I was thinking I could sing all the songs on the next record.
Okay. Okay.
That's getting met with a little bit of resistant force.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'd honestly prefer not to sing too much in the band anyway. I didn't want to sing that song on
yeah, he didn't
when we
that.
Did it. I just
we
didn't see why.
We liked the song a lot.
Yeah, so. Well, someone else could have sang it.
Well, it was like, you know, it was like your introduction, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. But there's a certain, like...
Lynn's a really good singer and a really good songwriter.
Novelty thing where one person sings. You know, you just get, like, one song.
Well, you can be Ringo, you know?
Hey, that's one what song I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be Ringo. Okay, you're not Ringo.
I'm the one wearing the rings today, though, so... Well, okay.
Plus, when you're playing drums and having to sing all the time, it's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, we never do that song live.
That's too much.
It's too hard for him to do it.
It's not too hard for me.
Yeah, right.
Oh, come on. If Don Henley can do it, you can do it, man. Come on, you know?
That says something about him.
Yeah, well.
He must be.
He is a multi-talented individual.
Super powerful man.
Indeed. Of course, he started out in trombone. Now,
really.
If he could sing and play trombone at the same time, that would be impressive.
Yeah, I'd like to see you do that, Don.
Indeed. So I guess that brings us to your most recent lineup change, which is before your European tour, Kelly, the lead guitar player for the band, left. So that kind of gives you guys a little bit of a different makeup. How did you guys, you know, feel moving forward with the band? You know, what do you think it means for your future to not have her involved anymore?
Well, the three of us, you know, love writing music together, and we enjoy playing shows and just hanging out and stuff. So it's like, for us, it's just sort of like, you know, that's what we want to continue to do. And so we're going to kind of do that no matter what anybody throws at us, you know? So, you know, we just sort of, it was really stressful for a while, but we just sort of, you know, all kept our heads up and just, you know, look to the future. It's been interesting. It's different now because it's like, you know, before it was like the three of us in the front and Lynn in the back, you know, it was like this set thing, and now it's like our image has changed a little, and now it's like me and Nikki up front, and we have another guy in the band now playing bass, and so it's switched up a little bit, but I think, you know, it's not, I mean, I don't think that...
trading instruments either.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it feels pretty good, you know?
So you're guitar full-time then, Nikki? Okay.
Yeah. We've been kicking ass, taking names, that's all I gotta say.
Okay. Well, I mean, I certainly think that you guys have the talent and the fortitude to move forward. I don't think that, you know, you're going to fall flat on your faces or anything without her. But it definitely does have to be, you know, a big change. I mean,
yeah,
any time that, you know, you have those kind of lineup changes, it affects the band. And I know, you know, in some ways, I think Kelly... was kind of a fan favorite for a lot of reasons. I mean, she, you know, she had sort of a particularly bouncy way of playing the guitar that a lot of people sort of gravitated towards. And a couple of her songs, you know, were sort of fan favorites for the band. So are you still going to be playing songs like Wild One and all that? Or?
Yeah, we do Wild One sometimes. We're not going to do it tonight, but... there's a few songs on the first album that we're not going to do anymore, and we obviously aren't playing Boy because there's no one to sing
it's her song.
But other than that, we're still doing like most of the songs and trying to keep them sounding similar to the way they were.
Okay. Well, I think it'll work out well for you because. Like I say, you guys have the attitude to do pretty much anything you want and do it well. So, I do want to talk about what's coming up next for you guys as well, because you've been in the studio recently, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Did we?
Yeah, we were in the studio from like late May to mid June.
Okay.
We're going to be going back. I don't know when exactly.
Yeah, we'll be doing some more. We're going to have it finished up by the end of the year.
We started our record, but we haven't finished it yet.
Okay, okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. The longer you take, sometimes the better they come out.
Yeah.
Can you give us any idea of, at least the stuff you've already worked on? Is it pretty much in the same vein as Screws Get Loose stylistically and all that? Or
a bit.
It's similar. I mean, I think I don't know. Yeah, we're gonna be playing some.
Yeah, you
songs
could be
tonight,
the judge of it.
Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of hard for me.
Well, I will be. You know,
I'd say it's kind of falls somewhere between the first record and Screen Skylines.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit more mature
song
in terms
style
of musically. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, what's your definition of mature?
I just mean.
Well, I'm really asking,
Oh, I'm laughing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's your definition of mature?
What does mature mean again?
Lyrically or like?
No, I mean.
Arrangement?
Like, yeah, or just like.
Great.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Just,
does it sound like Fleetwood Mac?
Okay.
Is that mature?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
I want it to be.
Let's just redo the Rumors album.
Yeah, you know, we're sounding a lot like Fleetwood
it's
Mac.
It's going to be a Fleetwood Mac album.
Okay. Okay, so that should...
I'm Lindsay, I guess. Oh, no, I guess you're Lindsay.
No, I'm not.
You're Lindsay?
You're so mad about it.
Who are you going to be?
I don't know.
You're going to be Stevie?
Do I have to be Stevie?
I'll be Stevie.
Yeah.
Okay,
Nikki's Stevie.
I'll be Lindsay. No, I'm Mick. No, you're Mick.
I'm playing drums. I guess I have to be
You kind of do.
You have to be Mick.
I'm cool, though. He's one of my favorite drummers.
Okay. Well, he's a good one to emulate. So I guess you guys will have to do major, major amounts of coke while in the studio. And see how
we got some coming right now.
Yeah.
Our guy should be here any minute. Yeah. So.
Awesome.
We're stockpiling.
Good. You got to build it up.
We're all sleeping with each other as well. And we're probably going to get a couple other people in the mix and hook up with them. You know.
We're
going to stir it up as much as we can.
Yeah, we're just trying to stir things up.
Well, that is always the best plan, I think, you know. So, do you have any sort of particular themes that you guys have been writing about, or any particular songs that you can, you know, just say something about real quick?
Sort of similar themes. I don't know.
I can't give it anything away.
Yeah, we can't tell you.
It's too secret. Okay. Well, we'll definitely...
We might tell you about a song, and then we don't know. We haven't picked the exact songs that are on there. So
right.
If I told you, it might not even be on the album, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you never want to ruin the surprise, but I'm sure we'll be looking forward.
In a couple months.
Okay. Well, I definitely... Yes.
Just wrote this killer one, I think.
Yeah.
It's called The Chain. I've got this
we all
really,
together,
really
actually.
Great thing that's going to happen at the end of the song.
Does it have a lot of vocal harmonies?
Yeah,
and
I got this idea
away,
that
it's too
the
much.
Chain will keep us all
together. Something like that?
Still working on the last line, though. I can't really figure it out.
Okay. Well, keep working, because I'm sure it'll be a good one. So, one... yes. No previews, remember? No previews. One last thing I want to ask you about is, one of the neat things to me about your band being an audiophile is that you've been releasing pretty much every one of your singles and your last album and all that on vinyl, which... always makes me happy because I love vinyl and I know that a lot of fans do. But were you guys vinyl kids growing up? Was that your one of the reasons behind that? Or
I feel like I've been buying records since I was like 5 years old, pretty much. Just always bought them. Everyone in the band collects shit.
Yeah, I had a Dr. Seuss vinyl. I had a Popeye vinyl. used to listen to that. I had a little record player when I was really little.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start actually like collecting it until I was a teenager and I got another record player. But I don't think any of us are very like, I don't know, we're not really like digital people too much.
Yeah,
right. Well, I think
we're becoming it because when you are in the, you can't take a record player in the van. So
yeah.
Like we have iPods and stuff.
Well, the only
like,
reason we have iPods is
been
that Apple
slow
gave us some.
To like learn how to use nice. Them. I don't have a computer to put music on my iPod. So
yeah,
you know.
It's a little slow.
But I sure do miss my records.
We did have a lot of tapes in our old van.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we probably had like 200 tapes in there or something at any
That's
given
a
moment.
Much.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure there'd be room for your equipment or any people if
there's a shitload of tapes in there.
Yeah,
they weren't all like in full case, so that's less room. But you should come to my house. I've got way too many.
Awesome. Well, if that's an invitation, then maybe
you
know,
my collection of cassettes.
I'll stop by. We'll check them out. You know, see if you got some Paula Abdul or something down there. You know,
I have a Paula Abdul. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's hot stuff on the tapes. You know. Anyway, well, that's pretty cool. So you know, maybe we'll make it happen. But I really appreciate you guys sitting down with us once again and sort of. You know, letting everybody get to know you a little bit. And as I said, you know, at the start, if any of the listeners out there don't know those darlings and don't love them to death, then they're really, really missing out. So I just want to tell all of my readers and all of my listeners. There is nothing finer. There is nothing finer than those darlings.
We will make you feel better about yourself.
Oh, yeah. And I need that,
many
too. So, anyway, once again, thank you very much. Definitely looking forward to the show tonight. It is going to be awesome, as always, I'm sure. So, Jesse, Nikki, Lynn, thank you once again. And let's kick some ass out there, okay?
Awesome. Thank
you. All right. This has been another edition of Burning River No Surf... try that again. This has been another edition of No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chats. I named it. I should know. Thank you very much for listening. Here we go. This has been a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammock, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt-country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.